I'm very honored to be able to serve this church. I've been a part of this church for about almost 5 years, and I can't tell you how much it's changed me as a person. I never really thought I would be in a position to be able to share in this capacity, but thank you for the opportunity. So we're going to be talking about a message called Good Soldier today, and the chapters and verses we're going to be reading from are 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. We'll start with verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Before we examine this text, let's pray and ask God to bless this time. God, we come before you. We ask that you reveal things in our hearts that might be needed to be revealed, that you might convict us, and that you might we might bring glory to you through the preaching of your word and the honoring of our hearts towards you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I love God's word. I love it because he uses common words like the word soldier. God also uses words like aliens, servants, slaves, prisoners, saints, priests, to describe his people. And they're all obvious ways that he shows distinctions from the world around them. They're not just words, but descriptors. They are commandments. We are clearly called to be different. When you hear the word soldier, what comes to mind? Perhaps a man or a woman in a strong stance and a steady gaze, with a body disciplined for war, maybe combat boots or camo gear. How about fearlessness and readiness? Someone who is prepared to die for their country. Is your first thought a Christian? What is a spiritual soldier? Let's read verse 4 again to gain additional context to better understand what Paul meant when he called Timothy to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, most, if not all, verses in the Bible have a primary and a secondary use. The primary use of these verses in the entire book of Timothy really was meant for Paul to utilize the word of God to train Timothy, a new convert to the faith, to raise him up to be an elder and a missionary in the church. Timothy was a young disciple with a lot to learn, but he had a lot of acute spiritual gifts that Paul saw, and that Paul wanted to focus and call those gifts into ministry. In this message, you will be asked to examine your own commitment to the faith the same way Timothy was being asked in Paul's letter to him. Another example of this in Scripture is found in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Are we not all being trained up in righteousness through the sanctification, aiming to be more profitable to the ministry? Being careful not to read yourself out of the teachings of God's word. Instead, include yourself intimately with this test as if you are Timothy. And that leads us to the secondary interpretation, which speaks to all believers. As believing Christians, we are responsible to the same teachings and commandments addressed to Timothy and the early church. This morning, we are going to consider three features of these texts that apply to us as they did to him: Christian endurance, the concept of separateness, and spiritual warfare. Christian endurance. You must endure hardship is another way to describe Christian endurance. A U.S. soldier spends months in boot camp, followed by months in a specific school learning how to engage in different forms of combat and war readiness. A more specialized soldier can spend years training to perform their elite duties. Even upon completion of their training, U.S. soldiers are regularly briefed on new methodologies and old practices so they are prepared for war. No different, the Christian soldier has to always be trained in the ways of the Lord, and we begin so as early as children, as seen in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way of the Lord. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that training continues up and until death. In both the human case and the spiritual case, the result is a spiritual soldier who is prepared with endurance and ready for battle. This theme of Christian endurance can be found throughout the New Testament. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Hebrews 12:1b, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you might obtain it. Part B of 1 Corinthians 9:24, so run that you might obtain it, it meaning salvation, means to run like it matters, to run like it really means something to you, like you're going to win, like it's everything. Does your walk look like this? More importantly, does your run look like this? Because we don't really hear about a walk in these verses. We hear about a run. And I'm asking you now to look further again. Are you growing in the grace and the knowledge daily as to win a race? As we find in 2 Peter 3:18. Are you continuing to build endurance? Because the Christian faith is not a passive religion. But here we are recognized that we are intentionally preparing for battle. Battle that is achieved through endurance, through training. And the purpose of all of this training is meant later, as we'll see, for spiritual warfare. So after we have endurance, we're also called in this verses that we went over to be separate. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, is a call to separateness. Paul used the word soldier with Timothy because he knew the images of the word soldier would relate to him the same way it would later relate to us. Timothy knew that even soldiers of his time were set apart from the rest of the citizens. They looked different, they acted different, they were seen as different, and they were under different leadership. He knew what Paul meant as a soldier, that he was not to be entangled with Roman culture, and that the affairs of this life did not apply to those men. Paul also used the word soldier because that is how he saw himself. Now, many of us know about Paul's testimony, and to summarize some of that here, we're going to discuss how Paul was fighting against the Jews and the Romans who were trying to kill him. He was fighting against demons and evil principalities that were trying to dismantle the Christian faith in the early church. He was fighting against the flesh, and he was wrestling with how to better understand and apply the nature of God, as we definitely know from Romans chapter 7. And much more can be found about Paul's persecutions in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you go through verses 22 through 28, we can see tangibly how Paul, as an apostle of the early church, fought against persecution. So Timothy knew, by knowing Paul personally, by receiving this letter, that he would likely also, as a convert to Christianity and soon to be an elder, be also under persecution and being trained and to fight like a soldier, as Paul had to. So consider the U.S. soldier and how they are separate. Another distinction of a U.S. soldier is the way that they are to present themselves to others. Soldiers, specifically those overseas, are ambassadors of our great country and are trained to act with U.S. values. Their conduct does not just happen, but only because of their intentional training. They are carefully reminded how to conduct themselves and the consequences if they do not act in a certain manner. What would we think of a U.S. soldier if they went over to Iraq, for example, and simply chose to fight for the enemy, even worse so, for ISIS? There is clearly a call for the U.S. soldier to be separate. The Christian soldier, again, is no different. We are called out of a people in a foreign land, as Peter states in his first epistle. We are sojourners and exiles. Or in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. As we are separate, are we not also ambassadors of another kingdom? Paul again states in 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. 2 Corinthians 2:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Pay close attention to this point. Do not confuse being separate from being separated. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. As Jesus asks of the Father, found in the priestly prayer, found in John chapter 17, as a U.S. soldier battles with foreign states and foreign lands, the Christian soldier must battle within where they are placed. The key is to be in the battlefield, but not entangled with the enemy, not entangled with the world. A warning found in Peter makes this point very clear. For if, after they escape the defilements of the world, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. So we have endurance, as we've learned. We have a call to be separate as we're Christian soldiers. And now we're preparing for warfare. So spiritual warfare is what this is all leading up to. Paul states in Ephesians chapter 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. The endurance that we train for and the position that we are in as soldiers are meant to be applied to our lives. But what is the training of endurance intended for? A U.S. soldier guards, protects, and a specific area and conquers new area to protect his country further. As a Christian soldier, what are you guarding? What are you protecting? Are you conquering through evangelism or through bearing a spiritual light? Here is the key. Christian soldiers are protecting that which is most important to us, the Holy Spirit, the promise of our salvation. 2 Timothy 1:14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Are we not given the power to do so? Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, that which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Clearly, we are given all that we need to battle. To summarize, as a soldier who is enlisted or chosen by God, a believing Christian is a new creature in Christ and is interested solely in pleasing him, period. To the believer, do you see yourself as a soldier? Maybe a little more after this message. Are you building endurance daily to prepare yourself and to please God? Are you separate, living as an ambassador? Or as in Romans 12:1 states, as a living sacrifice? Lastly, and honestly, are you entangled with this world? To the unbeliever, my prayer for you is that this message has pricked your heart, and that God may call you to himself, to be separate from your old life and this fallen world, and to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you. It's a lot to digest, And we know that you give us the power to be a soldier for you. And we know that you use that word both metaphorically and truthfully, that you want us to battle in this world for you, to honor and to bring glory to you. And we ask that you would give us that power and that motivation, and that intentionally daily, Lord, we would go out to do those things. And we thank you for this great opportunity to serve you today. In Christ's name, amen.